Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hola, socios. Hola, equipo. My name is Neil.
I'm Liam. This is John Nurnberger from Kansas City, Missouri, USA.
Moray Field near Brisbane in Queensland.
Edinburgh.
Barcelona.
And I'm a socio.
I'm a socio.
I'm a socio of the Big Interview.
Hi there. I'm Liam from Edinburgh, and I'm a socio, because not only do you get to hear the world's top players speaking about their time on and off the park, you also get to hear Graham try and slip in a reference about Aberdeen in every show. Keep up the good work, guys.
Hello, I'm Graham. This is The Big Interview. Our guest this week is Simon Stainrod. Have I taken a risk? Maybe. Simon's greatest playing days were perhaps before some of you began watching football. Not before mine. And many of you I know will not only remember Simon as an outrageously gifted, but also outrageously cheeky footballer. And I mean that in the best possible sense. The ball, to him, wasn't simply a friend, but a friend with whom he could get out and do ridiculous things on a Saturday afternoon or a Wednesday night. To my way of thinking, he came from a special family. Now, I don't mean the Stainrods, much as though I guess, given how Simon's turned out, they must be pretty special, but that family that included Frank Worthington, Stan Bowles, Duncan McKenzie, Tony Curry, and in the modern time, Zidane, Valeron, Xabi Prieto, men of impressive size, height, power sometimes, but unified by being witty, creative, anarchic. We call them mavericks. I call them one of the main reasons that you and I love football. Beyond that, Simon is a special man. He's funny, he's a really good friend to have, he's intelligent, he's inquisitive, he takes risks, he's hell of a good fun to go out with. Falkirk fans, this is going to be, I predict, the only wonderful footballer of European class who ends up tearful at the memory of Falkirk Football Club and Brockville. This is a guy who I first met, he tells me, at Dundee when he was manager, a guy with whom I mucked about during World Cup 98 in France, a guy whose wedding I went to, a guy who every time I talk to him either makes me laugh or makes me learn something new. He is as entertaining off the pitch as he was on the pitch, and you're going to hear that now. This is a small part of the interview that's available in full to our supporters, our socios at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. This is Simon Stainrod at his best, one of the most entertaining men and footballers you could ever wish to know about. By now, you know the kind of thing I'm going to say, because for better or worse, you've been listening to me and our wonderful guests on this series. This, fittingly, given that it's Simon Stainrod, is a first. We're in one of those beautiful London Victorian structures, sitting beneath a steel and glass canopy in St Pancras Station. Across from me is an internationally renowned, talented, maverick, clever footballer who's looking at me with grave, grave doubts. And therefore, although you'll hear him snorting with laughter at some of my questions, you'll also hear the Eurostar pulling out, some announcements about security. For the moment, we've got Simon Stainrod. Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour. Comment allez-vous?
You see, Simon's got it all. talent, looks, and the French language. Simon, I want to get straight to the nub of the matter. Say you had a bout of insomnia. Which sport would you put on the television to induce sleep?
Now?
Yeah.
Football.
Why?
It's all the same.
Yeah.
No imagination, no mavericks, no fun. Everything's measured, everything's controlled. Pitches are all perfect, balls are all perfect, boots are all perfect, fans are all perfect.
Ish.
Ish.
Are you saying it's a kind of Stepford Wives, like robotic production line, everything's the same and it's all controlled?
Groundhog Day, Stepford Ooh. Wives.
Oh, nice. But, like, if that's the case, what, for your personal taste, have we lost? What are the things that are absent that, if you could do a sort of laboratory experiment and re-inject them into football, should come back? Bad pitches?
No, you don't need bad pitches, you don't need bad balls, but what you do need is to play in adverse conditions. Not weather conditions, conditions whereby you might have to battle for 10 minutes with an injury. You might have to challenge yourself mentally to be able to fight against something that can't be replaced immediately by the second, the third sub. The safety element in the game now is just not a combat sport anymore. I mean, the reason I played football was because I'd seen George Best playing. And what I saw was a bullfighter. Somebody that he put the red cloth out and he said, come and kill me. And that's exactly what the sport lacks now. There is only one that's doing it, and that's Messi.
Everybody knows the name George Best, even to this day, because like Elvis, like Marilyn Monroe, he's become an icon that's deserved because he was beautiful, he was the world's first big football superstar, even though there'd been famous players before him. He was divinely gifted. He had gifts like Messi. I think there are some similarities in what they do with a slalom, with the ball. But that thing about come and get me if you can, why did that appeal to a young Simon Stainer? What did you see that you liked in that?
That you had to be different, that you had to use skill and not strength, and that you had to have a real imagination. And, you know, as a kid growing up, I used to be in a garden and pretending to play against Norman Hunter or pretending to play against Tommy Smith.
And, two and, good names
and,
to choose.
And I'm like, in my mind,
yeah,
I'm like Alan Hudson or George Graham. No, George, you know, I know, I see you frowning there, but George was like very, very slick and very, very cool. And, you know, I like watching George because
Stroller, he was called Stroller for a reason.
He had an unbelievable Stroller's attitude to the game, and yet was, the French word is efficace, which is like you're just very, very utile.
The right things happened.
Yeah, you don't have to run around like a maniac. You don't have to be told where to be, what to do. You just know it. And I never played football to be a success. I never played football to earn money. I never played football to win anything. I played football for fun. And I played football for fun practically all my life.
It's funny when you say that. I often say, so people might be tired of hearing it, I wish there was a visual series, because that stained rod grin has started crept from your eyes into the sides of your mouth now. And I know that's not only when you're telling the truth, but when it comes from the heart, and it's absolutely spot on. There'll be a lot of people we know, because when I said on Twitter that I'd had the best morning of my Eurocopa 2 years ago, and put a picture of you and me grinning like idiots into the... There was a flood of people. Is Simon coming on the big interview? So there's a lot of people who know you and know the people we've been talking about, but there'll be an awful lot of people who are too young to know about Osgood and Worthington and Hudson and Stan Bowles, even Peter Barnes. Let's stop a while at Tony Curry. People don't remember Tony Curry. Just help us with first time you saw him, but a real-time description. What does he look like? What was the... Because to me, I'm already envisaging, you know, the size of the athlete, the balance, the grace, you know, the 70s hairstyle, which was kind of like... I'm pretty sure that Royal Rovers is modelled on him, but I'll shut up and over at the guy who knew him.
He's just the nicest person you could ever meet until you got in the dressing room just before a game, at which time he took over completely and just insisted that everybody gave him the ball every time they got it. That was all he wanted. He said, every time you get it, just give it to me. It will be all right. And he had an unbelievable faith in his ability to transport players that weren't on his level to better things. And he had to be a little bit careful because he'd got knee injuries. But in training, you know, he's a bear. He's like, you know, he's quite a hairy fella, right? You wouldn't have to dress him up much to be a bear. He can pick people up with one hand. You know, I've seen him holding off people with his arm out, shielding the ball, and they're really having a go at him to get it. And it's like nothing to him. But he has a strength, physical strength, that I've never seen in another player. And he's at Sheffield United. He's a director now, Sheffield United. I was watching my son training, so and he stopped the car and said, what are you doing here? I'm like, oh, TC, nice to see you. And he came out and gave me a love light and broke three ribs. He's just the strongest man.
But back in the day as well, like he was very much of the 70s. And so as a kid watching him on television, I could see the sway, I could see the balance. For me, body shape and movement when he was on the ball and when he wanted to sell a lie to a player and tell him to go one way and he'd go the other. He reminded me a little bit, or him and Zidane have things in common.
Very, very similar to Zidane, and Zidane is also superhuman in his strength. Like, you know, he can hold off three or four players in one arm whilst working out which trick he's going to do and how he's going to embarrass you. And they just see it differently. And TC was, for me, the best player I've ever seen or been on a pitch with. He could just do anything. He did struggle a little bit with injuries, which, you know, affected him a little bit mentally, I think. He found it hard not to be able to do the things that he could do because he was restricted.
They're all happening in his head but the knees are saying no. You know, we'll pass to Tony in a second, but you talked about entertainment and not only what you tried to do, but this thing that we've fallen in love with, players who would make your journey to a match great, even if your team had lost. Or did Tony sometimes do things for the sake of flair? Or was the elegance that I saw simply always applied to moving the ball upfield? Was he a showman like you or not?
He'd do things for his he'd do things for his own satisfaction. He played against Everton, and I was at his game as a kid, and I'd be about 15 or 16, and they were playing Everton when Everton had a really good midfield and Alan Ball was playing against him.
Probably Howard Kendall as well.
And Alan Ball had been giving him some stick, and they played at Everton, and he said, Tony Curry, he's not this, he's not that. And I don't know what the score was, but there was a moment in the game, I think United were winning maybe 1-0, and TC got a ball from a throw-in, controlled it, turned, and Alan Ball was in front of him, and he sat on the ball. Actually sat on the ball.
Yeah.
But ain't that what it's about?
Over the years, I've seen others in that. I'm not saying they're the same off the pitch, but I think Letizia fits into the...
Oh, he's fantastic. It's the beauty of the internet is that you can see these players now quite easily. And quite often, if I've like got 5 minutes, I'll just put on Matt Letizia or Frank Worthington, that goal against Ipswich.
It's like some people put sort of Barocca in their water in the morning just to give a little lift.
Yeah, yeah.
All you need is a 5-minute injection of Frank Worthington, if you pardon the expression.
If you watch Matt Letizia's goals, because he actually played just after me, really, when TV had just moved on a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got more of his action. And I'll watch him and I'm so jealous.
Bet365 are our sponsors on this. But I'm pretty sure I know that Steve Freeth has sent this in, and I know why. He's a baggie. And Steve is asking, did you really choose Aston Villa over Barcelona?
It's a bit more complicated than that, but
there
yes.
There you go, Steve, I told you. Yes?
It is, yes. But it's a long story, Barcelona. And I didn't fancy the Juan Gaspar fella, who was He became chairman, I think.
He did, he did. He was vice president in your day and he became president. And, it didn't go too well.
I'd been to Barcelona. Well, I was in Barcelona. I talked about a contract. We were doing a two-year deal.
A two-year deal, partly not just because of your ability, but partly because one of your mentors, a guy who believed in you, Terry Venables, had been recruited from the club you were at, QPR, to take over in 1984 at the Camp Nou.
TV, before he took me to over there for a chat, and he was managing QPR, took me for lunch to a place not far from here, in Curzon Street, in Mayfair. And we had the same thing to eat, strangely enough. It's funny what you remember, isn't it? Smoked salmon.
Ah, very nice.
And he asked me a question. He said, if you could go to a top European team and take a risk or stay at QPR and play to be in Europe, go on, maybe even challenge to win the title, because we've got a good team and we were going to get better players. He wanted to sign Lineker. You know, it was ambitious. He said, but if you'd been offered a big job in a top European club, what would you do? And I said, well, I'd go. And I thought he was asking for me. He was asking about himself. He got me. So, so I said, no.
No, you should have asked it differently. That was the only way you were going to read it.
I know. So, exactly.
Who's tapped me up, boss?
So, I can remember scratching my head as I walked out of that meeting.
So, apart from you doing him and sort of saying, yeah, I'd go, boss, when he asked you to Mayfair for smoked salmon to ask your opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, we went out for lunch and...
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's how you should do it, really.
It's a position of respect.
So then, obviously, he went to Barcelona and I had a tough time at QPR after he left. I found it difficult training with the people that took over.
Alan Mullery.
Well, Alan Mullery was one and Frank Sibley was the other one. And when Alan Mullery got the sack, Frank Sibley took over. Yeah. I got sent off in two games for fighting. Everton on the Saturday and Ipswich on the Tuesday. You couldn't do that now. You'd be banned. So I got suspended by the club for 2 weeks. And in that time, I got Sheffield Wednesday to buy me. I had a right laugh with Howard Wilkinson. And he used to be my school teacher, Howard. And we've never got on. I love him. And I think he's very funny. He's very
dry.
Misunderstood because he's so dry. But he's so dry that I actually get him, like, you know, I like him. My first game was Norwich away, and I was actually on the bench, and he brought me on. And the first ball was a skyer. It was like, you know, 90 metres in the sky, on the wing, very, very difficult to bring it down and do something with it. And I'm watching it, and I just caught it on my foot and back-heeled it to somebody. And the lads on the bench said he wanted to bring me off and play with 10 men. He said, what have I signed here?
I wasn't thrown out of the cops. I was a really good detective. I just chose to leave. And I'm sensing a connection here. Howard Wilkinson, Simon Stainrod, Howard Wilkinson, Eric Cantona. Yes, Alex, that Cantona, you can have him, no problem at all.
Yeah.
The man who...
You know the story or not?
Well... He doesn't seem to quite like the characters that we do, that we based this interview upon, no.
So now I'm manager of Dundee, and Howard rings Dundee Football Club up and speaks to my secretary, Isabel. She puts through a call for me from Howard Wilkinson. So I'm like, Howard Wilkinson, right, OK. Howard, how are you? I'm all right. They'll know that Cantona. What's the thing about him? He's played in France and they've seen him. I said, Howard. I said, he's one of the top six players in the world. I said, he can do anything, but you won't like him. Right? He said, OK, fine, thank you. On go, gone. Never spoke to him again until they won the league. I got invited to the football writers' dinner in London, where he was presented with the Manager of the Year award. And I saw him, we're all there in our dicky balls, like, you know, and he comes up and he says, they were right about that, can't I?
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I have to pick up a theme. You were talking about top clubs coming to you and asking your advice, your help with players that have a little bit of the street about them, players that still have a little bit of the artful dodger about them. And you found one. You found one in Dembélé.
I did.
And you know, right now I look at him and I think I'm really privileged for all the flaws I can see and what some of the conversations with the football people have taught me. Not to look at the things he can't do or doesn't do, but look at the thing that he does do. And I'm really privileged that right now Dembélé and Vinicius are coming through at the same time in La Liga, at a time when Cristiano Ronaldo's gone away and Leo Messi's going to be 32 in June. But Dembélé was, you know, you knew about his raw, extraordinary talent when he was at Rennes.
He'd never played a first-team game.
And he should have been at City, but he isn't. Mm. And the Nice coach probably went to sleep on watch when Patrick Vieira was still...
I don't think he went to sleep on watch. I think he had...
Why isn't Dembélé a City player, then?
Because he had rules, probably life rules, that applied to him, which he applied to this situation.
Patrick did?
Yeah. So he didn't want a player who had never played a game in anyone's first team to come to Man City and say, I want a number for the squad and I'm better. He wasn't being big-headed. I'm better than anybody that's playing in your team. And he is. He is. You know?
Ousmane Dembélé is utterly extraordinary.
Well, I'm so happy because like, I've been so worried about him.
No,
he's like
flawed, Simon, and immature, still to learn, but
he's
with
had
the personality
so much
to learn.
Stupid stick in the press, like
yeah,
no, that's not true.
If anybody hasn't watched Ousmane Dembélé, we're talking about a player who Simon knew, spotted, and was in a position to advise clubs about when Dembélé was still in the academy at Rennes before Dortmund, and he's now, albeit with bumps, you know, his bumps about sleeping in and missing training and missing team meetings. Is Barcelona without him, and when Barcelona without him, they're a lesser team already. And the kid's, you know, half or a third of the way through his second season, one season at Dortmund. He's beyond where he should be, and he's literally extraordinary.
Let me tell you what he does. When he's got the ball, if he's going to make a pass, and there are two choices, he makes the pass that's most dangerous and makes it well. If he's got a dribble, he can beat a player in so many different ways. If he's going to cross it, he can whip it in, he can chip it up, he can like cut it back, left-footed or right-footed.
He's completely ambidextrous.
He's completely ambidextrous. He can shoot with his left foot the same as he shoots with his right foot. You don't know which way he's going to go. He's got an acceleration from 0 to 60 that's like a Porsche.
There's nobody on the planet, Simon, that plays football right now that goes from standing to that fast.
Unbelievable.
There is literally nobody.
But I think Mbappe's a really good player. But a great player is Ousmane Dembele. I think Mbappe is a really, really good striker. Ousmane is a really, really good footballer.
Ousmane's got fantasy. He'll put bums on seats whether the ball goes in the net or not. He's got a weird imagination about what to do. He's still, I mean, I would argue that although I'm aware that he's got really strong personality, and I'm also aware that he is where he always wanted to be. He's been Barca fascinated, he's been Messi fascinated.
He is.
And it should work for him. I think that his football maturity age is not above where it is, his passport age, and it might be 18 months below it, because I think I've watched him smelling the coffee. He's got all the gifts. He's always known he's going to make it because the gifts are there. He doesn't have athletic problems. He doesn't have injury repetitively. He's not concerned about bad people. It's all going to happen. But that whole thing about how hard he's had to work for it to happen, I'm not certain about. But you see at Football Club Barcelona right now, with solid, tough men around him, Messi included, when they're giving instruction, he's listening.
They've latched onto him.
But I see the quid pro quo. Yeah. He's going, okay. Now Mbappe, because he's got good people and he's quite a strong, bright guy too, and tough. I think he found that quicker. I think he understood it.
He's much more likable because he puts himself more in the press. And he has a charm and of someone that's more seasoned, and he's like much older than he's.
Seasoned's a great word. That's exactly the difference.
And if I was manager of Man United, I'd probably today buy Mbappe to play in my team as opposed to Ousmane. But Ousmane is a better player.
Bet365. What are your memories of the 1982 FA Cup final? My memory is you standing on the pitch doing, I think, a BBC interview. When the guy, not knowing you then, I look back now and I laugh. And the guy, the interviewer, is like, Simon, and you're in your
it's
suit.
Bob Wilson.
Is it Bob? Yeah. Are you quite confident? I mean, any sentence that starts to you, are you quite confident? It's already a wasted question. Oh yeah, we'll win. Yeah, I was quite sure.
Absolutely.
Glenn Rodri will be lifting the cup. You were very, well behaved. Yes.
I rather fancy our chances. Yes. And
sweet memories. Do you remember much of it? The adrenaline. The what?
First thing. It's not all that long after my sister died. A couple of years after my sister died that we played in the cup final.
I had no idea.
A few years.
I had no idea.
4 years. And when the band played Abide With Me, it really got me before the game. I was in the toilets sobbing.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be?
And that's probably my most important memory. The game... The first game, it was just a game where, you're playing against Spurs. They're not easy. You've got like Perryman, who rubs you up the wrong way all the time, and he protects Hoddle. You've got Graham Roberts, who just wants to wind you up and kill you. Murray, centre half, is it Murray? They were a difficult team to play against, and they were quite a successful team.
They were Crooks and Archibald up front.
Yeah, good forwards.
Very
good forwards.
Nice partnership.
Who suited the way that Glenn Hoddle played, because he used to, as balls came into him from fullbacks, he'd just clip them into the space for two quick forwards. It was very, very difficult to defend against. And the first game, I was just so pleased that we drew. It was like. We scored, long throw, flicked on by Bob Hazel, and Fenn heads it in. And I don't know how long was left when we scored, but we had extra time or whatever. There's a clip that I saw not too long ago of me getting the ball off the goalie and just rolling it back to him and getting it again. So I'm just wanting another game at Wembley, and to be honest, that is what I really wanted.
It was so special to be at Wembley.
Yeah, my ambition, as a young lad growing up was to play for England and play at Wembley in a cup final. And I just really, more than anything else really, I wanted to play in a cup final for anybody, you know, I just want to play in a cup final. And but not the League Cup, the FA Cup.
Had to be the FA Cup. It's a traditional one, of course it is.
Yeah. And we had a really good party after the game, and our chairman was Jim Gregory, who was a well-known London character. And we had really, really good time at the hotel, and I got up early on the following morning. It was a really nice day, and we were in a hotel across from Hyde Park, and got all the papers and looked at that, and I thought, oh, this is just great, you know. I was so glad that we got another go at it, and I felt sure that we would win the second game. In all honesty, I think we probably, you know, we lost 1-0, but you know, it's a game that we could have won. You know, we were unlucky. We hit the bar. We had a goal disallowed. We had, like, you know, and we played all right second games. First game, I think we were a little bit timid, and it was hard to get on the ball. I found it hard to get on the ball. Although it's a big pitch at Wembley, I think that Tottenham had done their work. Like, you know,
what we haven't explained to anybody is that, as well as Tottenham being well prepared, they were playing week in, week out at a higher level than QPR, you'd still to be promoted.
Exactly, yeah. So we were, if you like, in those days, second division team, so a championship team. So it'd be like, I don't know, Norwich playing Spurs today. And but we had a team, you know, we had a team, we knew we were good. We just happened to be made in the second division, transported to the Premier League. And, you know, I think our first season we finished fifth, I think, Premier League. So we weren't, you know, we were good enough.
Thank you for joining us for season 2018-19. We've got huge creative plans for the months ahead, but we do need your help to make them happen. Please go right now to patreon.com/GrahamHunter and become a socio, become a paying member. Get an extra big interview every month, plus loads of bonus content. Last season, socios listened to 9 exclusive big interviews, including Rafa van der Vaart, Troy Deeney, Roberto Di Matteo, and loads of me talking about football. The Premier League, the Champions League, Spanish football. I'm sure they enjoyed it and you will too. Support us, join us. Thank you.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.